Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the We're Having a Good Time podcast. My name is not Dusty Slay, but I'm Connor Larson, and we're doing a guest episode. I'm your host this week, and I'm pumped. I'm pumped to be doing this for Dusty. Dusty has got a lot going on in his life. They are having their third child this week, and so he said, hey, how about you fill in and do a guest episode? And I said, I would love to, because I would. I'm Dusty's buddy. I'm a comedian here in Nashville, too. I think some of you, a lot of you probably know me, because Dusty's been very good to me and taking me on the road over the years. We got our own little side show. We do the Dusty and Connor React Show over on YouTube. But I'm mainly just pumped because Dusty's my buddy, and it was nice. It's nice when your friends ask you to do something. So I said I would love to. And yeah, I've listened to the podcast for a long time, so I think I have an idea. It's going to be different. I hope you like it. I hope it's a nice change of pace. I'm not Dusty. I'm not going to be able to give you that exact experience, but I think I'll do a good job. We'll have some fun. If you want to leave a mean comment, Dusty will probably like that. So, you know, you can leave a nice one too. I would like that. But if you leave one that goes like, what's with this guy? That's fine too. I understand. But yeah, I'm excited. Thanks for tuning in. We're going to have a fun time on the podcast. It's fun to do this. I get kind of, Dusty's my friend for 10 years now. And it's, you know, as you get older too, your friendship kind of changes. And lately we've both been, you know, Dusty's a big garden guy. I'm a big garden guy. And it's been a lot of fun. This is go time in Tennessee. This is the time where you plant everything, you know? I guess I'm still waiting on the warmer weather crops. But I'll tell you, I've been out there. I got some raised garden beds, and I finally just ran some drip lines to them, because last year was my first year really being out there in the garden, and you really get your butt kicked. You learn a lot of stuff. Everything that people who know how to do this stuff and have done it before do makes so much more sense to me. Last year, I was like, I got it. I'll just elbow grease it, and then I had a push mower, for about an acre yard. And that was, my neighbors thought that was funny. And they were right. I got married, and my in-laws said, hey, for your wedding, we got married in the backyard, which was great. Saved a lot of money. And, they said, instead of a wedding, we're going to get you a real mower. And so I finally got a real mower, and now mowing is one of the great joys. There was a period there where the mower, you know, I would start to see the grass get high, and I'd go, this is gonna be a bad day. You ever mow and then you come inside and just lay on the ground because it's cold, and you're like, that's what was happening. Because we got a, you know, it's a perfectly good push mower, but it was too much to mow. But yeah, we're getting it all in there. We're getting I just planted all this. I went to Needham's Nursery out here in Mount Juliet. I love Needham's; they're good people. And I planted a bunch of plants. I planted a bunch of flowers for my wife. And I planted a bunch of crops that I hope will grow. You know, I'm still learning what works, what doesn't. I'm not going to lie. I killed a lot of plants last year. I didn't mean to. I was giving it my best effort, but I just didn't know what I didn't know. So this year I'm excited. You know, we got stuff in seed trays that we're going to put in once it gets real warm. And we got some stuff already out there in the raised garden beds. And I'm hoping that, you know, a little bit better watering will do a good job. But I'm trying to get into like native Nashville plants that you can grow here that people don't for whatever reason. I know this is a big thing Dusty and I talk about, but I would love to grow the pawpaw tree and the ground cherries and all the sort of edible fruits that you can grow here that they're not popular at the grocery store for whatever reason, but you can grow them. And they thrive here. I want to grow blackberries. People keep blackberries and mint are the two where people warn you, like they're going to bully you. They go, hey, blackberries and mint, they're going to take over. And you go, that sounds great. I would love to have too many blackberries. I did have a friend plant blackberries that have thorns, and then he was getting destroyed by that. I got a bad poison ivy thing. I was digging out a tree to, I had a tree we had to get rid of, and it didn't make any sense to pay anybody to do anything. So we, just to get rid of it, I was just getting under it with a shovel and snapping the roots, and then eventually just took the whole root ball and flipped it out. And it took a while, but it did work, which was nice. But when I was doing it, something had grown there that, the old owners weren't really garden people, I don't think. And it was poison ivy, and I got poison ivy all up and down my arms. And poison ivy, I don't know. I always go, it's nothing. It's something. It'll kick your butt. I had it all up and down, and you can't just, it's just little stuff that gets annoying. Just trying to sleep. Just also, it looks crazy. You know what I mean? I'd go up on stage and I'd have all these little, it looked like burns. They look like, that's what's crazy about poison ivy. It's such, it's something you think about getting when you're working outside, or like little kids get it because they're just running around. But it's a chemical reaction on your skin that kind of burns. It's a chemical burn a little bit. That's not how I would describe it. If I was talking to my wife, I wouldn't go, I had a chemical burn last week. You have to be nice to me. But a little bit's a chemical burn. But yeah, we're out there in the garden. We're planting stuff. I just planted a bunch of blueberries. They told me blueberries are the diva of the garden world. They want different soil. They want acidic soil. So I put peat moss down there and mix that in with some native soil, mounded it up so it drains. So I'm hoping that things will grow. And I'm hoping, last year we had a real fight with the deer. The deer kind of just came and took a bite out of every, the deer are rude about it. They take a bite out of every tomato. They don't eat the whole tomato and go like, thank you for that. They just go, and then they leave it, and then they bite another one. My wife was upset. She took it a little personal. I love her. She's a sweet person, but we started seeing the deer in the yard, and I was like, this is not good. We don't want it. That means they're seeing what's happening. But she goes, no, they're just, they're sweet. They just want to see. They just like the way the house looks or whatever. And then sure enough, tomatoes are coming in. I remember it so clearly. We had a great day. We go, man, the tomatoes are almost ripe. One more day. And went to bed. And I guess the deer thought the same thing, because they just took a bite at it. It was like symbolic. They bit every tomato one time and then just threw it. We were like, oh, man. So this year we got a fence. I'm building a fence. I built a little path. I did it again. I did it with just a shovel and a wheelbarrow. And every time I do something like this in the garden, every time I do something that people tell me, like, it's going to be a lot of work, they're right. I did not realize. I think that's the good thing about this stuff, is you get to a place where you go, it's too late now for me to, I can't stop, or I'll have to live with not having finished this garden path. So I have to just do it. So I just try not to realize how much work it is until it's like 30% of the way. I can't just have a ripped up backyard if you're not going to do the path. So you got to finish the path. That's my strategy for getting things done in the garden. But yeah, I hope you guys are in a good growing zone. I hope you're getting, I'm excited about this. I can't wait to just get stuff in the ground and see it growing. And, we didn't even have an especially bad winter. We had that crazy storm, but it wasn't too bad. But by the time spring rolls around again, you're excited. I hope it's a good one. I'm sure there's going to be stuff next year. If I did this podcast again, I'd be going, oh, I wish I had known X, because I would have done it different. But no, I am excited. We got a bunch of native stuff, a bunch of new flowers, and we'll see how many perennials come back. It's all going to be pretty good. Comment what you're growing in the thing. If you're trying to, Dusty and I are always trying to think of, garden videos we could make. So that'd be cool. If you want to see something, or if you're doing something, send it into the React channel and we'll watch your video. That'd be fun. I like that idea. We would watch the garden subscribe. If you send us your garden, we'll react to it. And I think that would be a lot of fun. But yeah, it's fun to be doing this for Dusty. Dusty is probably my oldest friend in comedy. I mean, there's some guys I started open mics with, but as far as real comics who are doing it full time and all that, Dusty's one of the older ones. Him and Aaron Weber are the two guys who really helped me when I started. So it's fun to, I was thinking about that when he asked me to do the pod. I was thinking about the gigs Dusty took me on. I remember the first gig Dusty took me on. I think it was right after he had done The Tonight Show for the first time. So I think this was 2017 or something. But he said, you want to go on the road? I had no idea what anything meant. I don't know. I had just been doing open mics, and that's the thing about comedy. You don't really know how to, It's not, it's like acting or something where you're like, who do I talk to about this? And then when you do an open mic, and a lot of the open mics are bad, you go, how do I get from here to there? How does this show that a bar with nobody listening somehow get me to, you know, all the stuff you go on to do in comedy? So Dusty, I think he must have seen me at an open mic, took me to, we went to Kansas, went to Springfield, Missouri. That was one of them. Went to Springfield, Missouri, and we did the basement of a like civic center. Like I just remember the gig was, I wasn't a very good comedian. I was maybe 2 years in, and I was supposed to do 10 minutes, and I maybe had 9 minutes if everything went great. If they liked every joke, you know, because when they're liking it, there's laughs, you can slow down, it really stretches the set. If everything went great, I probably had 9 minutes. And everything did not go great. Everything, it was, you know, it just wasn't a comedy club. It was tables and weird lighting. And I don't know if there was a stage. I was just kind of standing there and I was nervous and I was wearing a shirt that was too small. That was a big thing I used to do. I'm 6'3" and I'd go, I'm probably a medium. There was a while there where people were calling me Baby Gap doing comedy, which was, I deserved it. You know, it was a good, I appreciate that. People would say that's bullying. It helped me realize you got to get the right size shirt. So we did that gig and then we drove on to somewhere in Missouri. Maybe we did Springfield, Missouri and somewhere else in Kansas. I just remember we pulled up and it was like a tiny town, you know, like one of those towns, just a main street. And there was a building and said, welcome Dusty Slay. Went to the basement. I didn't do very well in that gig. And I was like, uh-oh. You know, it's funny too. I was so nervous about like, does Dusty think I'm a good comic? And then you get older and you realize anybody bringing a 1 or 2 year comic on the road, you know, we kind of know you're not good. We're not even looking for that. We're aware of the process. You need reps. You got to get out there. You know, and being on the road is a lot more about being a decent hang. It's about just sort of not getting annoyed with the stuff on the road and trying to have fun. Because there's parts of it that are tricky. You know, you don't sleep well. A lot of times there's not food you want to eat. You're kind of killing time in strange places. And you're trying not to spend too much money. But you're trying to also not be, you know, tough to hang out with. And by saying, I don't want to do anything. So you're doing a lot of that. But I remember that the second gig, I was like, this is the one. I'm going to get it. I'm gonna knock it out of the park. And I did fine or whatever. But Dusty was like, hey, good job or something. And I was like, I thought it was like from there, I was, you know, 2 months to the Tonight Show. I thought it meant a lot. And, you know, that's not what happened. It was great. It was very helpful. And being friends with Dusty has been incredible for my life and for my career. But it was definitely funny. Just the, you look back when you're starting and you're like, man, you have no idea what's what. You don't know anything. But yeah, we're doing more gigs. Dusty and I will be doing, I'm opening for him in Houston and Dallas, May 1st, May 2nd. And I'm excited for that. I went to Texas with Dusty last year and it was a good time. Dusty kind of got pranked. We were going to these shows. I think we must have landed somewhere east of Houston because I remember we were driving to Houston. And we had a crazy landing. The pilot was going, so they went to land, right? And it's windy. It's all out there in the middle, wherever in Texas. And we go to land, and the guy pulls up at the last second. I think it was Beaumont. That's where I think it was. Now, he pulls up at the last second, which that's better than coffee as far as waking you up. As soon as they start to go down, and then you feel that just, whoa. So they pull out. And he goes around again. We're kind of, you know, they don't say anything either. They don't go like, whew, which on one hand, I get it. They're not, what are they going to say? Hey, that was almost bad. But we're all just kind of looking at each other on the flight like, yeah, okay. And then he goes down to land again. And you could feel it was windy. It's like when you're driving your car. You ever drive your car and you're behind a semi and then when you get out, your car kind of like jerks because the wind is hitting so crazy? It's kind of one of those. So we're going to land again. We pull out of that. And now I'm like, I don't know. This is not. So then the pilot gets on the speaker and he goes, okay. All right. It's a little tricky. It's a little windy or whatever. We're going to try one more time. And if we don't make it, which is not what you want to hear a pilot say. He says, if we don't make it, we're going to go to Houston or wherever. We're going to divert. And it was a weird moment because there was, you know, they still got a circle and they got a little bit of time. And you're thinking in your head, you go, okay, on the one hand, I want to get on the ground. But on the other, if you're not sure, if you're not sure we're going to make it, you know, I'm okay. It's like, you don't know, I don't know enough about flying to know whether or not I want that guy to try to make it, you know? Part of me wants to go, hey, listen, let's just go to Houston. But then the other part of me is like, I don't want to rent a car. That might be worse than crashing, you know? That might be. But yeah, we'll be back in Texas. I remember last time we tried to go, we did the classic thing on the road. You know, on the road, you got this balance. You want to live your life. You want to experience things. But you also, you want to stick to stuff you know. Because if you don't, you might have a bad time. Like, you know what I mean? If you go to, you go to where? You go to Cracker Barrel, you know exactly what it's going to be. It's not going to be totally different than you expect. But we tried to go to like a local place. We said, let's find a cool food truck. We're driving from Beaumont to Houston. And there's a lot of Texas where you're like, do people live out here? There's a lot of it just empty. So, and I hope, listen, I don't know. I'm not looking at a map. If Beaumont to Houston is not what we did, if I'm misremembering, sorry about that. But so we're driving somewhere. We stop to get coffee and it's like a local coffee shop, right? And we go in and I get whatever. I always get like an iced coffee or something. And the guy, Dusty, tries to just order a black coffee. And the guy was like, yeah, we don't do that. And it was one of those things where you were like, I thought that would be, there's nothing I was more certain you would have. You would think when a coffee shop gets down to its last thing they can make, right? It's coffee. That's the, if they said you can only make one thing here, you'd go, well, they can make coffee. Somehow they could make anything else. They could make a matcha latte, but they couldn't, but no coffee. And Dusty was fired up. So it was a little funny. So we leave or whatever. And then we drive like another hour. We stop at another place. And it's like, this one's like a food truck, right? And we go, all right, we'll get coffee here. We'll also grab some lunch. And we go to get lunch. And I mean, dude, we pull up. It's a food truck in the middle of nowhere. We order, you know, we pay. And then it's 20 minutes, 30 minutes. With the point where you're like, I'm about to have to walk up here and be like, can I just stop? Can we just get a refund? I don't care anymore. But, you know, you see that we were just watching like a, it reminded me when I had a few jobs when I was a kid where I didn't know what I was doing. Like the first time I worked the drive through at a place, the guy who was supposed to do it was just sick. So they were just like, you're up. I didn't even know what buttons I got the everything wrong the whole day. And that's what it was reminding me of. Just a person just struggling. So finally we get the food. It's like 30, 40 minutes. Dusty's real fired up. And we go, all right, we're just waiting on the coffees. We're like, at least that, you know, it was smart. They didn't give us the coffees. And then, cause then it would, then we'd be done and waiting. So we go, oh, we're just waiting on the coffees. And they go, oh, we don't do coffee. Even we had ordered coffee. We had paid for coffee, but they were like, we don't do coffee. So then we had to figure, I think they gave us, they either refunded it or said they're going to, we were just like, let's just get out of here. But that's the problem with the road. You kind of have that balance. If you want to live your life, you want to do things. You don't want to just be the guy who's like, I go to Subway every time. I stay at the same hotel. I never see anything because it's kind of like Groundhog's Day, right? You're just kind of wasting your time. But you also, you don't know what's going on. So you kind of have to hedge your bets. You kind of got to go, I don't. And people sometimes, you know, I always feel like I'm disappointing people. I've talked to a lot of people after shows and they go like, how'd you like Minneapolis? And you go, I didn't see a thing. You know, I hate to tell you that, but I just didn't. I did this, you know, I just flew 4 days ago from another city where I didn't do a thing either. It's nothing against your city. It's just, that's why I like hanging with Dusty, because we go have cigars after and that's fun. You kind of get to see a little bit of the city. And I think he might see more than I do. He might go out and see some stuff, but for me, I have a hard time. Unless someone gives you a goal, they go, you got to go here. And then it's got to fit criteria that they probably don't know. You know, you go, I want it to be fast. I want it to be simple. I certainly don't want to wait in line at a brunch on the weekend. That's to me, brunch is just criminally, criminally a bad idea. It's just get up and go to breakfast or wait and go to lunch. But brunch is to me, that's the worst of both worlds, right? It's expensive because it's kind of trendy. And also by that time, a lot of times I want lunch. I don't want breakfast. So that was, I remember when I was dating, if a girl wanted to get brunch, I was like, I don't know how much I want to do this. I think this might be a sign, you know? But yeah, so we had a lot of fun and I'm looking forward to that. I like going on. The road is fun because especially as an adult man and I got a wife, I got responsibilities back here. You know, you don't hang as much as you did when you're 20. You don't hang with your friends. But when you're on the road, you sort of feel like you have to. You go, I'm hanging with my buddy. We're both, you know, people with families. We have responsibilities. But right now, there's nothing we can do. We're driving from Beaumont to Houston. Let's listen to the radio, you know. Or with Dusty, that's the fun thing, too. We go through a lot of playlists, play a lot of songs. I'm excited. I don't know if Dusty's going to listen to this. I don't know if he'll know about this. But when that drive is coming up, so there's a new Don Williams album. They found it in his cellar, I guess, in Tennessee, because it's called The Cellar Tapes. And it's coming out in May. And I love country music. I didn't grow up with country music. I grew up in Florida. And my dad liked lots of great music. But he wasn't, you know, kind of a weird hole. And there wasn't that much country music. There's kind of a hole in his musical stuff. He didn't really listen to that much country. I mean, there was some great stuff. He showed me Redheaded Stranger. And, you know, there were some, I think he liked a lot of the Grateful Dead stuff that's influenced by country. And there was some great country stuff. I don't want Dan Hicks and his Hot Licks. I don't know if anyone's heard that, but that's a real strange band, but they're real cool. I like them. But I didn't listen to a lot of stuff like mainstream country. I didn't know any of it. And then you move to Nashville. I've been here 10 years and you inevitably, you just hear it, you know? And then if you got you got friends like Dusty, you know, you go on the road, you're listening to music for 8 hours and you find all this stuff. And so now it's kind of fun. Now I love country music. I listen to it all the time. And it sort of just becomes a bigger part of your life living in Nashville. At least that's what I found. There's a lot of country. Like there's a lot of country stuff that I think is big in Nashville that I don't hear at all. The younger artists doing stadiums and stuff, I don't really know what's going on with that. But you can find a lot of older country that's great. So I'm excited. I hope Dusty doesn't know about this and I can show him the Don Williams album on this drive. Cause that's a fun thing about being on the road. You get to feel like, you know, one of you will DJ for a while and you want to play songs the other person likes, but you also, what I really want is to show them a song they really like. They didn't know. That feels exciting. When you get to show somebody a song and they go, what is this? That's the best. So I got some songs ready to go for that. And it's really nice because you get to be, you know, that's something about an 8-hour drive or a 4-hour drive or whatever it is. It just sets the pace of life down. You know, you just can't really get that hyped up, especially in Texas where it's kind of mesmerizing because you're just looking and it's just a lot of it's flat or the same. And you can tell it's huge and you go, man, this is a lot to drive across. I always think about the guys who settled Texas, you know, the guys who are walking out there, just guessing what's out, just being like, I hope there's a river soon because this is crazy. And I love the live oaks they got out there. I'll say that. That's one thing about Tennessee that kind of bumps me out. I guess you could grow them. I'm sure people do. But the big live oaks, you know what I mean? Like the ones in with the moss growing all over them that kind of grow wide, not tall. I would love that, one of those. But the problem is, takes about 200 years to grow a good one. And that's not going to fit into my schedule as well as I would like. But some of those trees are beautiful. I've really gotten into trees lately. I've planted a bunch. And I like the trees are one of the few things where you can't really cheat the system. You know what I mean? Beautiful old trees. I guess you could get them moved into your house. It'd be real expensive and stuff. A lot of them, like the really beautiful ones, I don't think they could handle the transplant. You know what I mean? It would be such a mess to move them that you just can't. We got one big tree in our yard. The tornado that came through in 2020, it ripped out a lot of our whole neighborhood. It's like a lot of empty spaces. You'll see like a lot of heavily tree wooded areas, and then you'll see a lot of empty spaces. And when you talk to people who lived here at the time, they go, yeah, that tornado came right through there. But yeah, we got one big, beautiful tree, and I love it. in the summer. It's, you know, it's where I would go after I would mow. Just get out of the sun, get under the shade tree. And yeah, I can't wait. I hope I get some, I hope my trees, you know, really grow. What do they say? They say it, the garden sleeps, then creeps, then leaps. So maybe next year, year three, that's when everything will take off. But yeah, I'm having a ton of fun. I can't wait to get out there. I can't wait to start harvesting stuff. It doesn't always work out financially, right? You plant stuff and then it doesn't necessarily give you that much. And you go, I could have just bought this at the grocery store, but that's not the point. You know, it feels good to grow stuff and it's probably doesn't have chemicals, you know, because you care about it and you grew it and you're not just spraying stuff on it. So I like that. I'm excited for that. I'm going to listen to Don Williams out in the yard and I'm going to just plant things, you know? But yeah, Don Williams to me, him and JJ Cale are the two, you know, I know what I don't know about. I know there's a lot about country music I don't know. And, you know, there's tons of people out there who know lots and they get kind of fired up. But to me, Don Williams and JJ Cale are kind of the same. They fit that same mold that I like, where they're both great songwriters and they don't seem flashy. Even just the way they sing, you can tell they're not desperate for attention. They're not hitting the crazy high notes where you go, wow, what is that? You know, they're just kind of writing great songs and they've both written huge hits. And that's always kind of the fantasy, isn't it? That someone who makes music you love, you'll just find out that they had a whole album that was hidden. You know, Bob Dylan had like the lost tapes, I remember, with the band. The band is incredible. That's a sort of a, I think if you like country music, the band have a ton of songs that you could get into easily. And they're just a great, great rock band. But yeah, I love I think it was called the Orange Juice tapes or something, but they had the Odds and Ends and all these little demo recordings of those. And those are good too, but they're not studio quality. You know, the thing that's exciting about this Don Williams thing is that apparently they were just songs that he recorded and they were ready to go. And then for whatever reason, he was like, I don't really want them out there. So on the one hand, you feel bad because you go, honor the guy's wishes. But on the other hand, you go, hey, I love the music you made and I'm excited to listen to it. So yeah, that's coming up. What else is coming up in country music? Ringo Starr is doing a country music album. That's one of those things where you say it and you go like, that's exciting. I like the Beatles, but at the same time, I don't know what a Ringo Starr album is going to sound like. You know, he's the drummer on the Beatles. There's not a lot you can take away from that. That's sort of just going, okay, I hope it's good. I don't know. I wonder if people are excited about that. People excited or are they annoyed? You know, it's sometimes how there's so much crossover with country now, people taking stuff that's not traditionally country and making it something else. And sometimes people hate it. So maybe they'll hate the Ringo Starr album, but I don't think so. I think the Beatles I think they made enough great music that you'll be like, all right, let's give it a try. You know, I also read a thing that said Tennessee Whiskey by Chris Stapleton. Great song. First single. Maybe his album. I think his first single to ever go double diamond, which I don't know. That means it's sold like, you know, whatever, 20 million, whatever diamond is, it did it twice. And they said it's the first country song to do that. And I think it's a great song, but I'm interested in like how that works. Is that really, because I think if it's the first one, that would mean it's the most popular song, right? And you would also think back in the 90s when they were selling more records that something would have gone higher than that. Like to me, it makes sense that the biggest albums would come in the 80s and the 90s when you had to buy a CD if you wanted to hear it. I mean, I've listened to Tennessee Whiskey who knows how many times, and I don't own it. I don't own a, you know, I never bought it. I just streamed it or whatever. So I wonder how a record from today could be the most popular. And then if it is, that's great. You know, I have no issue with that, but I'm curious that it was that song. That's all. I love to do that. I love to go in Spotify and look. You know, you'll click an artist and it'll say like 370th in the world. I was looking at something the other day and they were like, I think it was like Jelly Roll or something. It was like 370th in the world, which is, you know, obviously great. That's tons of records. But if you go like, I just always like to think, where would you have guessed they would have been? You know, in your head, would you go top 500 or would you go top 50? I find that it's interesting. There are bands you'll think would have 2 million listeners a month or whatever their little number is. And then you'll click it and it'll be like 30 million. There's a lot of bands like that where you don't know, you kind of go, I don't really know a lot of people who listen to that. They can't be that popular. And then you click it and you go, whoa, these people, they're listening to it. So yeah, I thought the Double Diamond, pretty interesting, you know? Is that the most popular country music song? I don't know. But yeah, I'm excited for Texas. I am excited for, we got Nashville Comedy Fest coming up. I know Dusty's going to have a show during that. And I know that there will be good cigar hangs. That's a big part of, you know, is this weekend going to be fun? When you go on the road, Dusty and I went to Ohio, maybe Dayton. I think it was Dayton. Beautiful theater, fun show, but it was right after the ice storm. I think it said it was -3 outside. And it was this is how much Dusty loves cigars. We're doing the show, finished the show, and the whole city is barely functioning. Everything's covered in ice. And we're in a hotel and they have an upstairs. So after the show, we go, let's try to see if we can smoke a cigar. And they got a hotel on like the sixth floor. You can see there's an area where, you know, in the summer you could go. And then they actually have like a little igloo. So you go, okay, people must be using this even in the winter because it's like an igloo over a, I don't know if it's an igloo. You know what I mean? They got a dome over a fire pit. But if you look at it, it's very clearly, there's icicles on everything. I mean, they're not doing anything to keep this open. But, you know, I got a big coat. Dusty had a big coat on. We go, all right, let's see if we can go out there. And I remember we asked some lady who worked at the hotel. We go, can we go out there and smoke a cigar? And she just started laughing like we were, not like mean, like she was like, that's a funny idea. I bet these guys are comedians. And then somebody who'd been at the show was at the hotel and they were like, oh, you know, we enjoyed it. And we're like, you know, thank you so much. And they go, what are you guys trying to do? And we go, we're trying to find a place to smoke a cigar outside. And she laughed. And it was at that point I was like, all right, I got a feeling we're not going to, when everyone in the town you're trying to smoke a cigar is laughing at you, you're probably not getting it. So we didn't smoke a cigar that time. We had a lot of cigars in Florida. We went to Naples where I did, that's where I grew up, not in Naples. I grew up in Florida, a little bit north of that. But it was nice to be home. We went in December, and in December you really understand why you would move to Florida. You know, as a kid growing up there, I always thought it was kind of boring, and I used to say I wasn't like an outdoorsy guy because it turns out I just hated how hot it got in Florida. It's just too hot. I don't mind June, July here. It's hot, but it's something about, you know, it's a season, right? It's summertime. So you really lean into, this is summer. In the summer, I'm out in the garden, I'm wearing shorts, I'm doing what I'm doing. But when it's just like that your whole life, Florida basically is 9 months of it being real hot and then 3 months of it being real beautiful, but kind of crowded, at least where I grew up. I grew up near the beach and it was, you know, you would get snowbirds. You would get people just coming in and all of a sudden everything took more time. And if you know what, it feels like you're out of sync with the rest of the country, right? Like when it's, I've had Thanksgivings up here now and you feel, you got that snap in the air and it's sort of, you know, it's just feels like the holidays. You make sense to drink, you know, whatever it is, apple cider, that's, you know, hot apple cider. And then at Christmas you drink eggnog or whatever, you know, something hot, chocolate, something warm. But in Florida, you felt crazy doing that. I remember there was a Christmas where I went kayaking with my brother and we were just sort of kayaking out around the beach. And, you know, it's hard to get into the Christmas spirit. You're kind of going, okay, it doesn't feel like anything. You know, I like Tennessee. Tennessee, you kind of get all four seasons. You get it, and I try to live sort of according to those, right? So I go, this is the time of year where this happens, so I should try to enjoy this because it's only going to be here for, you know, 3 months, 90 days, whatever it is. And then when that moves on, you do the next thing. And I think it's just a, it's smart. It gives you a little variety where you just go, I try to enjoy the things while they're there. And then when they're gone, enough time goes by that I actually get to miss them. And that's, yeah, I love that. I mean, you know, obviously I love where I live or I wouldn't have stayed here, but I think that's a sweet little, it's a sweet spot in the country. Those little places where you get four seasons, you know? So I, and in Tennessee, you kind of also, you skip out on the, you don't get the brutal winters, you know? I got a lot of family in Toronto and I go up there a lot and it's beautiful in the summer, but man, it is, it can be rough in the winter. It can make you go, I'm not sure how bad I want this summer, you know? I think if I got to shovel this much snow, I don't know that I'm doing it. I also have, my wife is so affected by the weather. It's so, I mean, on the one hand, it's kind of cute. It's kind of funny, but it's like when it rains, it's like someone was trying to be mean to her. You know what I mean? She's just like, oh, I had these plans and now it's raining. And I go, I know, I'm sorry. I hate that the rain did this to you, but you know, tomorrow the sun will come out. So it's just a funny, I guess we're all affected by the weather. You know, that is fair. And I like talking about the weather now, and I realize a lot of people will kind of be like, you're boring me if you talk about the weather. But then those same people say they like nature, which I think is weird because nature is, you know, if you say you like nature, it's kind of cool. It's got good branding. If you say, you know, you start talking about the weather, people go like, what is this? What are you making, small talk? But the weather is just nature right then. I think it doesn't make any sense to me. I think people should be like, oh, this guy's really in touch with nature. He's been out there today, but I don't know. Just one of those things that's good branding, I guess. The people over at Nature, Big Nature, they've done a great job with all that. This time of year, it's tough too you know, you're on the road all the time as a comic, and this time of year, it's always hard when you live somewhere and it's in one of those, like I was saying, you kind of get, you know, the springtime only, it's only there for so long, and you get the springtime, and it's hard to leave. Like, the good stretches of weather, the times where it's beautiful and I want to be out in the yard doing stuff, it's tough because you got to put everything on pause, and you come back, and you got to mow that day, and you got to do all sorts of... I'm also realizing this is my gardening shirt, as you can tell, because it's got all these holes in it, and it's an old T-shirt that I think we found in, you know, a closet in my house back in Florida, but... Yeah, that's why it's all ratty. I swear I own shirts that have, you know, fully intact cloth panels. I got a shirt like that. But yeah, it's hard to leave when it's not in the winter. Oh, that's the best. We went to Florida in the winter. That feels like you're escaping. That feels, you almost have to not, like, I always call my wife when I'm on the road and she'll be like, how is it? I'll be like, you know, it's not that nice. But in reality, it's nice. I just don't want to be mean and say that, you know? So you want to time. I actually used to work with a guy. I used to open for Rodney Carrington, who was a great guy, very fun, very nice to me. And I did it for 2 years, and I started looking at the schedule, and I started to realize, I think this guy is just chasing the weather. I think he's just, when it's hot here, we're going somewhere where it's a little nicer. When it's too cold here, we're going to Florida. We're going to Arizona. And that suited me great. I thought that was very fun. I mean, most comics, you can't do that. Weather can't be your main scheduling. But that's a goal. I would love to get to a place where I could schedule around the weather, you know? Just go, I'm doing a lot of gigs in Florida and Arizona in the winter. That's a good way to do it. I'm trying to think where you would never... There's places you'd probably never end up going if you did that. Probably never go to Rome, New York. I went there once and it was tough. Although it might be, it was, you know what? I bet it's beautiful in the summer. I'll give you that. Every place has got a period of time where you're like, okay, all right, this is nice. I'm into this. But yeah, the summer's coming. I can tell that. I got to get everything in the garden done pre-summer. I got it because last year I made the mistake. I said, I'll just keep working the same pace from March to August, and then June, July, August come, and you go, even the plants are kind of chilling out right now. This is go time, you know, spring, that's when you really get there. And then the summer, you just kind of got to deal with the heat. That's sort of what, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait to, we got a lot of strawberries. I can't wait to harvest those. You know, the tomatoes. We got a guy on our street. I don't know what his name is. I think it's Ken, but everyone just calls him the tomato man because he just brings you, he'll just bring you tomatoes in plastic bags. And he brings you a lot. And he's like, I just got too many. It's kind of a flex. He goes, I got too many. And I go, how many? How many could you possibly have that you're bringing everybody on the street? I mean, that's when I moved in, they told me, they go, in the summer, the tomato man will come. And I just thought they were, I didn't know what that meant. I just said, okay. And then a guy showed up and he gave us tomatoes. And then I was trying to be neighborly. I said, come look at our tomatoes, you know? And he looked and he was nice. He goes, oh, you know, those are tomatoes or whatever. But you could tell my setup, he was like, that guy, first year growing tomatoes. And we still got a lot. We still got some in the freezer. You know, I'm trying to be better about, I don't know how to really can things and, you know, mason jar and preserve. And we're getting into all that where, you know, we got a dehydrator. We're making herbs. We're you know, chopping them up and putting them in a little, you make your own spices, all that stuff. And it's fun, but there's a learning curve to all of it. You know, I didn't grow up in a way where I just know how to do this stuff. So I'm trying to figure it out. And it's a lot of fun becoming sort of a garden person, you know? And then it's such a different side. You know, comedy is sort of bars, late night. And then you kind of get this nice balance of being outside and, you know, comedy's kind of glitzy and glamorous. Or, you know, it can be, not always, but it's certainly got that side of it. And then the garden, things take time. You know, the trees are slow to grow and you kind of got to make sure nothing gets too hot or too dry or too wet or whatever. And you just sort of, I find it's very good for my brain to be out there. And I'm very excited to just chip away at it. Put a, you know, another little thing in, another little thing. And then year by year, you grow your garden. And then, you know, 10 years later, you're telling somebody and they go, you garden? You go, yeah. And then they see your garden. They go, whoa. And you go, yeah, I had 10 years to do it. So that's what I'm trying to do. I'm also trying to find cool places to, you know, local places to support this sort. I don't want to, sometimes you got to go to the big box stores or Tractor Supply, but I would prefer not to. If I could, I would like to go to a local business. And I mean, I go to Needham's. That's a great nursery. I love Needham's. That's where I get a lot of my plants and they've been very helpful to me. Just the people there have gone out of their way, even when they're not selling me something, to help me figure out stuff, you know, help me figure out what's going on with this tree, what's going on with this. But I'd like to find more, you know, my goal is to find as much stuff out in this part of Tennessee that I can go to and sort of avoid the giant box stores and the giant chains. That's the thing. I noticed that even more. It's funny how much my life is the airport and then outside, but you notice that at the airport, you know, where there's nothing. There's like very little at the airport that I want to support. I just go, man, I wish I had brought all my own food. I wish I hadn't done any of this because, you know, $13 for a coffee and you just go, it's not even going to be good. And I feel like I'm getting ripped off. It's the worst of both. I don't, you know, sometimes you get ripped off and you go, well, you know, I'm at a baseball game, whatever. The hot dog's $12, but it's a good hot dog. But when the hot dog is bad and you're paying $12, that's the quickest way to make me dislike a business. And the airport is just nothing, but they just know, they go, listen, there's nowhere you can go. You have to eat here. And we made you throw out your water. And it's just, I don't know. I just flew 2 days ago. So that's, you can tell how recently I flew by how much it's just coming up in my thoughts. If I'm just talking to you and I start complaining about the airport, I just flew. That's, if you give me a week at home, I'll be like, you know, whatever, the Don Williams album or something. But flying, it just, I don't know. People, it's not people at their best. I'll tell you that. It's a lot of adults where you go, I can't believe you're acting like this. If that's the main feeling I have. And it does feel like, I don't know. I mean, I'm 33. So how different could it have been when I was 18? But I think it was a little different. I think people were just more socialized. They were more used to having to share space and, you know, they you couldn't even not use headphones. You had to use headphones. There was no there was no other way. It's just I don't know. The airport makes me worried. And then I leave the airport and people seem pretty normal and they seem to handle stuff okay. But at the airport you watch grown people, old people just melt down about nothing. They're booked. They're in the C group at Southwest and they go, there's no room for your bag. And they go, what? And you go, listen, I'm sorry. I know that's annoying. But at the same time, you knew that was Southwest plan. You knew when they said you're group C. Group C is code for we're going to not be helpful to you. We're going to make this a bad experience. And people will lose their minds. And you go, what did you, when you saw you were the last one boarding, what did you expect? I had a whole year where when I was opening for Rodney Carrington and we would fly every week. We did a show. I remember we did a show Thanksgiving at a casino in Reno. And then we did a show on Christmas at a casino in Michigan somewhere. And I just remember those were weird gigs because the crowd was, you know, people where you were like, it's a little strange you're at the casino and not with your family today. But that whole year I flew with them. I was group C. I was the worst group on Southwest. So every single weekend it was just middle seat and we're going to check your bag. And middle seat, we're going to check your bag. And you just sort of... You just got to, after a week or two, you go, this is what's going to happen every time. If it doesn't happen, that's a pleasant surprise, but it's going to happen. I just find, you know, it's sort of, if you set your expectations real low and then something happens a little bit past them, you're like, this is great. But if you set them high every time and you know it's not going to live up to it, that's what I feel like people are doing at the airport. They're going, maybe this time at the airport, it'll be fast and efficient and TSA will be friendly and our flight won't get stuck on the runway and then our bags will come right out. And you go, I'm telling you, this is not going to happen. This never happens. Do what you want. But I'm just telling you, as someone who travels a lot, I think it's a much better strategy to just be like, this is going to be bad. And then when it's not that bad, you go, pretty good. You know, I think that's what I'm trying to do at least. I'm not telling you what to do. You live your life. But for me, what works is set my expectations real low and then being pleasantly surprised. Just going, that, you know what? Our bags did come out. Sure, I got yelled at by that, the baggage person who's always like, back away from the carousel. I'm not even near the carousel and they're just making up something to yell about. But I think that's a good plan. That's, you know, that's how I travel. That's how I started doing comedy. You just go, maybe this gig in Kansas will take me somewhere cool. Eventually it does. Eventually it will. Sorry about that. Got a little cough. I was trying to power through to the end, but couldn't do it. I had a good time doing this. I hope I've met a lot of people at Dusty shows and, you know, many of you have been very nice to me. So I appreciate that. I hope you come see us in May in Dallas and Houston. Hopefully I'll keep doing, you know, Dusty's always been good to me and helping give me work and all that. So it's fun meeting people. You know, if you want to leave a comment on the episode, let me know what you think. Dusty will be back real soon, I'm sure. And, Dusty and I have that show, Dusty and Connor Reacts. If you want to send us something in so that we can react to it, that's fun too. You can, you know, DM it to us or whatever. Just send in a link, and if it's easy to get to, we'll watch it. And, I hope you liked this. I hope this was a good episode. I know it's a change of pace. I know you tuned in for Dusty and not me, but I hope this was good. And, you know, feel free. Tell me what you thought about my garden plans. If you think I'm an idiot for planting whatever I've planted, let me know. I'm all ears. But I had a lot of fun. You know, I hope you guys did too. And I'm sure you'll enjoy the podcast next week when Dusty's back. Thanks for giving me some of your time. So thank you very much. We're having a good time. ¶¶